We'll just read the, we're reading from chapter, Canto 2, chapter 7 and Shloka 20. I'll just read the translation. Translation by Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Prabhupada. As the incarnation of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty and ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by his powerful wheel weapon. Undeterred in all circumstances, his rule was characterized by his glorious fame, which spread over the three lokas and above them to the planetary system of Satyaloka, the topmost in the universe. So before I begin speaking, I beg to Radha, Shyam Sundar, Krishna Balaram, Gaur Nithai, Jagannath Baldev Subhadramai, all the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada, and my most dear Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Swami, and all the Vaishnavas to bless me that I can glorify Lord. And I want to dedicate all my all the results of my bhakti or whatever little devotional service I'm doing to my good health of my Guru Maharaj, and all the Vaishnavas who are struggling with the COVID right now. So here we're talking about the various avatars of the Lord in this chapter. The chapter's title is the scheduled incarnation with specific functions. Now we see that all these whatever's happening right now, that human birth or human life is so fragile, you know, like when we put something in the airport and something is fragile, we put this fragile sticker and we say handle with care, you know, because so that it doesn't, the item in that baggage doesn't break, it needs to be handled with care. And similarly, this human birth, what you have received, is so fragile that Lord had to take so many incarnations and expansions so that He can create that conducive environment so that it can survive. Like the oxygen level goes below 90, you need the oxygen mask. Yeah, the blood pressure goes little less, you need to eat salt. So the blood pressure goes up, you have to take insulin. So there is so much external support required to just put together this body. Little temperature has gone up, we have to switch on air conditioning. Little temperature goes down, you have to switch on heater. So there is so much dependence on the outside world if you compare to, you know, like other species. You know, like cats or dogs or cow or monkey, they live in so different weathers outside and live their whole life. But for human life, it was so fragile that Lord had to come in so many incarnations and create a conducive and expand in so many forms and create so many devtas to make this place conducive for humans to live. So the purpose for this incarnation, Manu incarnation, was to create, establish the rules and regulations and the laws of the society. And as in Prabhupada is explaining, that he came to subdue the miscreant kings and protect the devotees and do the glories of the Lord, you know, like that's how Prabhupada is concluding, correct? That he, Vandalya Prabhu read the purport, that he came to subdue the miscreant kings by his chakra weapon, and he came to seize the Manvantara incarnation, disseminate the transcendental glories of the Lord. So these are the two functions. Now, if you see that that when the Manu Samhita was spoken, it was a Smriti thing, and then so many subsequent kings and scholars, they translated them and sub-translated them, and it was so effective that India got independence in 1947. But until 1959, the laws for Hindus was Brahma Samhita, Manu Smriti law. So for 12 years, even after the independence, we had the Manu Smriti law for Hindus, and it's also called Hindu law. And after that, when Indian adopted a British law in constitution, then, you know, we moved, the judicial system moved to the British law. But still, like, a lot of things like inheritance in India and capital punishment, these are all remnants from the Manu Smriti. So it has created, and lots of time Prabhupada also gives reference to Manu Smriti here and there. But then, since Manu Smriti had so many translations and so many additions to it or modifications, that it cannot be accepted in entirety by Vaishnavas. And so some references may be drawn, but then for us, we rely on the disciplic succession and the knowledge received through Guru Parampara. You know, as in Shloka 4.1, Lord has told to Arjun that Shri Bhagwan Uvacha, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktaham Aham Avyayam Vivasvan Manave Praha Manur Ikshvaku Abravit. So Lord is saying that I gave this knowledge, transcendental knowledge, to first the sun god Vivasvan, and then Vivasvan passed on to his son Manu, and then Manu, who's the father of the mankind, gave this knowledge to Ikshvaku. And in Ikshvaku's king Ikshvaku's dynasty, Lord Ram appeared in the same dynasty. And same way, it kept coming down to the same knowledge kept coming down to Vyasadev, and Vyasadev compiled in Bhagavatam and various scriptures and Vedas. And they say that Vyasadev is Chiranjeevi, he's still living. And 1,000 years back, when Madhavacharya appeared, he met Vyasadev, and Vyasadev gave all the knowledge to Madhavacharya. And then we have disciplic succession from Madhavacharya to Ishwarpuri to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu onwards, 6 Goswamis, and from there we have the whole chain till Prabhupada. So what knowledge we are receiving is unalloyed and directly from the parampara. So as in the same shloka in Bhagavad Gita 4.1, Srila Prabhupada explained that in Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma is also saying, Yat Chakshur Esha Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Sura Murtir Ese Sateja Yasyagnaya Brahmati Samharta Kalaj Chakro Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamham Bhajami. So he's saying, Lord Brahma is saying, let me worship that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, who is the original person, and under whose order the sun, which is the king of all planets, is assuming immense power and heat. And the sun represents the eye of the Lord and traverses its orbits in obedience to his order. So this is the same sun. And then further, he is the same sun who received this knowledge from Krishna. So here also we have to see that that this this Manu Samhita is created for the material. Another reason Vaishnava don't follow is that because the Manu Samhita is created for the material material functioning of the world, but Vaishnavas are interested in more like spiritual advancement, and that's what we get from the direct knowledge coming through the disciplic succession. Now Prabhupada is explaining there are 14 Manus in a day of Brahma. So we are on 7th Manu, or the Manu under whom this planet Earth and current time is under 7th Manu, and his name is Vivaswat, because he's son of Vivaswan. And since the one reason we not following is that there are number of things which are given in Manu Samhita, and lots of people quote and confuse it with the Vedic way of living, because it was said in a time of the rules of Kshatriyas, and there were like Kshatriyas majority all over the place, and there were things given like regulated meat eating, and there were things given over there about the position of women in the society at that time, and the capital punishment for murderers. All these things were given. So sometimes these things are used by the external people talking about the Hinduism or the Vedic life, confuse the Vedic life. So that's why Vaishnavas are refrained from following this again. Now once we see that what's coming through parampara, then we know what is the correct knowledge or correct understanding. Like Lord is telling in Bhagavad Gita, when Arjun says that I do certain things, and it feels like as if some force is letting me do it. Many times we see that we want to chant, but our mind is digressing here and there, and sometimes we think that I want to do this worship, then something comes and phone comes, and then you got engaged, and then you kind of get pulled away, as if somebody is forcing us to do things. So then Lord is explaining that these are the three modes of material nature which are pulling you. So Lord is giving that transcendental knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, and that's why Vaishnavas go back to Bhagavad Gita to check what is the correct way. Another place Lord is telling that prakriti kirmanani guna karmani sarvasha ahankara vimuratma karta ham iti manate. Hame hamesha lagta ki main kar raha hu, that's the ahankar. So biggest reason for anxiety we have today, like all of us are anxious here. I mean last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, for a month, we've been all anxious what's happening in India and what's happening around the world, because we have this ahankar that we can do something, we are doing it. But when this ahankar is subdued, when you are not able to do, when we are constrained, then we become anxious. Oh, I cannot do this. Oh, I can't go and help my parents. Oh, I can't go there and do this, because we feel that we are superheroes. We want to do everything. We can do everything. But when Prakriti is making this arrangement, these three type of miseries, and we see that we don't have control over situation, we become anxious. And another reason we become anxious is that we have lack of faith in Lord. One day I called Anand Brindavan Prabhu and I was like, you know, asking him, Prabhu, why we feeling anxious? Why I don't have that love for Lord and faith in Him? Why, like, you know, as Akshay Hari or Madhav or kids in those age, like they're comfortable, they are, or Anirudh, they're comfortable, they're playing around, because they know that, yeah, my Papa Sudama Prabhu will manage everything, you know. Or Akshay Hari may think, oh, my Papa Anandran Prabhu will do, manage everything. So they have faith in the father. So that's why they're happily playing with the Lego or toy inside. But we don't, because we don't have that kind of faith in Lord, we become anxious. And that's the reason for anxiety. So then we next step, we have to seek. You know, all these sannyasis, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Japtaka Swami Maharaj, His Holiness Radha Govind Swami Maharaj, Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, they all were seekers. So they were seeking the truth. They were seeking the relationship with Lord. And that's how they could achieve, you know, what they could. So then I started to look for the answers that how to develop faith for the Lord. What is it they receive, these sannyasis received, which helped them to derive that strong faith in the Lord. So I started to listen, I started to read, to in the quest that how to develop that faith, you know, how to develop that faith in Lord, that I'm not so anxious on things which are beyond our control. So we should do our duty, as Krishna said that, you know, Prabhu keeps quoting this shloka where Krishna is saying that he keep me in center and Arjun to fight. So then I found that all of these people, they had strong faith in teachings of their Guru Srila Prabhupada, and they did unalloyed devotional service to him with complete surrender. So, you know, in that further quest, we see that we coming back to this avatar Lord Manu's avatar, Lord's avatar and Manu, that when Lord Brahma manifested from the lotus flower, he was alone. So first he looked around, and it was he couldn't see beyond the lotus flower, the effulgence. He could see only the effulgence of the Lord all over. And then he looked around the lotus flower, he couldn't see. So he came down to the stem of the lotus flower. Then he saw this vast ocean. And then he came back up. And then, since there was nothing around him, he did tapasya. And as a result of tapasya, as a result of his meditation, Lord manifested in his heart and gave him all this knowledge about his identity, his relationship with Krishna, and what he needs to do with what is the purpose of his appearance. So with that knowledge, there were ingredients there in the lotus flower. He created this whole material manifestation, and then from his mind appeared from his mind appeared Lord Narada and various devatas and all the prajapatis, the manus are called prajapatis. Who prajapatis means who this may created the praja for this material manifestation. So there are two ways to achieve this relationship with Lord, understand this relationship with Lord. One is Aroha Pantha, which is people try to search within and try to ascend themselves up to go to the perfect understanding, which is far more difficult because of the all the limitations we have in this material birth. But if you see in this case as well, in Lord Brahma's case as well, though he was concentrating from in within, he got all the instruction from outside from Lord Shri Krishna, and which is explained in the previous chapters, where he's saying that he could do all these things because he was focusing on the lotus feet of the Lord. And the other way of other process of achieving perfection or achieving transcendental notion is Avaroha Pantha. Avaroha Pantha means like descending, which we are following, like starting from Lord, then Lord to Brahma, Lord Brahma to Narada Muni, Narada Muni to Manu to Ikshvaku, like that. So it's like a descending path. And here we need to have grace of Lord, you know, that we get this knowledge through the disciplic succession, and we can absorb it and implement in our life. And Lord is also saying that, you know, Rajavidya Rajgoyam Pavitram Idam Uttamam. So this transcendental knowledge or Rajvidya is most confidential, and that's why when it comes from Avaroha Pantha, we have to be careful that we get from the right source. Now Lord Brahma then has passed on all this knowledge in Brahma Samhita. So we know that, you know, just before when we did the Govinda Mas Adi Purusham, Angani yasya saklin vitimanti pashyanti panti kalyanti cheram jaganti ananda chinmaya suhur raha vigrahasya govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. So in this shloka, in this verse, he is explaining that Lord's transcendental form and his indriya, and how he's complete, how he's suhurdam. And then next one, he's explaining venum quantam arvindalayam barhavatam asidam sundarangam kandarpa koti kamaniya bishesha shobham govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. So here he is explaining the beautiful form of Lord, that he's playing flute and he's blue in color and he's wearing nice earrings and vishesha shobham. So there's a beautiful beautiful peacock feather on his head. So it's like a complete knowledge, you know, through disciplic succession we're getting the beautiful form of Lord. We're so fortunate that, you know, we can see this form of Lord and we can worship this Lord. But when we see that, oh, this is so beautiful, we hear Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so nice, we see that we've been explained that Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare is the only deliverer, and Hare represents the energy of Lord. Krishna represents all attractive, and Ram word represents all the pleasure in the world. So when we know this, but then we think, I'm chanting for so many years, but I'm not getting the taste. When we see Venum Quantum Arvinda, he's, Lord Brahma is explaining, the Lord is most beautiful and most pleasure giving, and we see that, oh, I'm seeing Lord's Vigraha, Lord's Arch Vigraha, but I'm not getting the same taste. Why I'm still anxious? Then we have to realize that there is this thick layer of material desires and all the anarthas on our consciousness. You know, that Prabhupada keeps giving example in so many classes of the diseased state of pilia ho jata hai, jab taste nahi, we don't get the jaundice, we don't get taste of the sugar candy, and the cure is that you have to keep sucking the sugar candy and you get the taste. So same way, when we are taking the Lord's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, and whenever we are seeing that Radha Govinda deities and Radha Shyam Sundar deities, and we don't get taste, we have to know that it's a disease state, and the cure is the same. That we have to keep chanting and keep serving them. And once we know that, once we get this transcendental knowledge, in chapter 5, shloka 29, Prabhupada declares this as the world peace formula. He says, Bhoktaram yagna tapsam sarva loka maheshwaram suhardam sarva bhutanam gyatvam shanti rachati. So he's saying that Lord is the supreme enjoyer. He is reciting in everyone's heart. You know, like yesterday Madhava was asking, Papa, is Lord sitting in every atom as well? So I said, yes, because that's what Lord has said, that he's sitting in every living entity, and these atoms also living entity. And Suhrdam Sarva Bhutanam. So when we know that he Suhrdam, he's well-wisher of each one of us. But we don't get this until we have that, you know, until we have that strong faith. We'll be always anxious, and we'll still have lack of faith until we really, really get this, because Lord Himself is saying, you know, in Bhagavad Gita, Suhurdam Sarva Bhutana Gyatva Mam Shanti Rachari. So, jo log jante hain, they get ultimate Shanti, Shantim Rachari. So, there's the ultimate peace for peace, Shanti. Yeah? And so, when we look around, I mean, I was reading one incidence by His Holiness Radha's Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He was describing the big universe, and then within that big universe, a small planet, and how insignificant we are, you know. And he was telling that there's a Prabhu, Shruta Kirti Prabhu, who's written the book, What is the Difficulty? His wife, her name is... Prabhu's wife's name is Amalekha. So she was in London, and they have five kids, both of them. have five kids, and she got terminal illness. So doctor told her that you only have 5 to 7 days to survive. And she wrote to Radhana Swami Maharaj that, you know, I would like to have your darshans before I depart. So, and then during the same time, there were some volcano eruptions. So all the flights were cancelled. And Radhana Swami Maharaj was sincerely, sincerely making this desire that he want to go and give association and meet Shuddhakirti Prabhu and his wife, Amrika Mataji. And all the flights were cancelled. So he sent his blessings and messages to him. And suddenly 2 days or 3 days after, one devotee came to Maharaj and said that, you know, I'm taking private jet to Africa and we would like to invite you for some program in Africa. So Maharaj told him his predicament and he told him his desire. So he said, okay Maharaj, I'll make everything to make you reach there. So somehow Maharaj reached London. He met devotees there, Prabhu and Mataji. And I mean, he was giving association and trying to listen to her, then, you know, telling at that time that what should she do, because she herself is a good devotee of Lord. And she said that you may be feeling that we are very insignificant, but I feel that we are of unlimited significance. Because Krishna loves me and nothing can take that away. And he says that actually makes that we all have unlimited importance as Lord loves us. So even though she was in that condition, she knew that she is leaving her body in few days, and even though we know that we are so insignificant, you know, if you see this material creation, and you know, somebody was asking question the other day in Bhagavad Gita class that when these big acharya, big devotees like Kulashekhara, he's saying that how will I, what if I don't remember you at the time of death? So what is our position? So we're so insignificant. But then if we know that, you know, Lord loves us, he suhurdam them, then it creates so much unlimited importance or significance. And how we use that unlimited significance or grace or mercy is by doing devotional service, by asking this question, who am I? You know, there's a acharya in South India. There's a place called Sri Rangam, and in Sri Rangam there was this acharya Parashar Muni. So there's a mystical island near Kaveri, and it's a 150-acre temple complex from 12th century. And this Parashar Muni was a 5-year-old boy when a great scholar came in palanquin. And he was saying, I have defeated all the scholars. And he was like, you know, puffed up, nobody can defeat me. And this little 5-year-old boy Parashar Muni goes in front of the palanquin and says that, can I ask you a question? So this this acharya or this saint said, oh little boy, your mother's milk is still on your lips and you want to ask me question? So this Parashar Muni lifts a sand, a handful of sand, and asks him that, do you know how many particles of sand in my hand? And this person's ego gets smashed And he says that, you know, you have this much ego because you don't respect the good qualities in others and you demean others. So this person accepts this 5-year boy Parashar Muni as his guru and surrenders to him. And when this Parashar Muni grows up many years later, one of his disciple comes to him and asks, dear teacher, tell me, what is the qualification to learn who am I? So the Parashar Muni kind of takes a deep breath and says that I have a friend, Saint Ananta, who lives in Tirupati, which is around 400 miles away from Srirangam. And you have to cross 7 forests which are infested with tigers and snakes and everything. And you have to cross the 7 mountains to go to Tirupati and ask my dear friend Ananta what your question. So this disciples on foot starts his journey, days and nights walks, and reaches Tirupati. He meets Rishi Ananta, and then Ananta she receives him, gives him a nice warm welcome, feeds him nice prasad, and then they go back to sleep. And next day morning he comes, the disciple pays obeisances to Anantaji, and then asks him, tells him that I want to ask a question. So Anantaji says that okay, stay here for some days and we can discuss this bit later. So then this disciple stays there and then does menial service, listens to class, do devotional service, chant. And like that, the life was going on. The 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months goes by like that. And after that, there was a big festival being arranged in Tirupati. And lots of pilgrims come from all over the world and different planets. So this disciple starts to serve everyone. So when the one round of serving was done of prasadam, he was sitting down for prasadam himself. So Ananta Rishi tells him, Ananta Muni tells him that, no, let's feed more and then we will sit later. So like that, second round, third round, fourth round, like that happened at the end of the night. He sits with the servers and they take prasadam and they've served everyone at the end. So then everyone goes back to sleep and next day morning Ananta calls him, Ananta Muni calls his disciples and ask him, my dear child, I thought you have a question. Do you want to ask now? So this disciple becomes so filled with happiness and excitement. Oh, I am to get to know my quest. Now he asks this question, disciple, that, my spiritual master, please tell me how... what are the qualities I need to possess to know who am I? So Ananta Muni takes long breath and then tells him that one should be like a salt, like a chicken, like a crane, and like you. And then he stops. So this disciple pays the obeisances and takes Ananta Muni's leave, and then with mixed feeling he crosses all those 7 hills and the infested forests and comes back to Srirangam, to Parashar Muni. And then Parashar Muni meets him, hugs him, gives, and was very happy. And he was like, he asked him, "Oh, did you meet my friend Ananta?" He said, "Yeah." He then disciple tells him the whole story, that what happened and what did he do for 6 months. And then Parashar Muni asks, "What about your question? What answer did my friend Ananta gave to you?" So he tells him that Ananta gave me this answer, that one should be like a salt, like a chicken, like a crane, and like me. But I didn't understand this. So Parashar Muni says, laughs and says, "Yeah, this type of answer only Ananta can give, because he wants me also to learn this. Maybe he gave the cryptic answer so that you discuss with me. He's such a good well-wisher." So then he explains, like a salt means salt has number of qualities. That salt should be just right to make the dish perfect. Yeah, it shouldn't be more, it shouldn't be less. So same way, we have to be just right in our life, where we do our spiritual practice just at right level and balance it with the our material life should be balanced, that we are not too attached to the material worldly things. We shouldn't always think about the matter, material desires. We should balance it with having spiritual desires, having the spiritual well-being, spiritual knowledge, and can do devotional service, listen to Prabhupada's classes, read Bhagavatam, you know, like that. The other quality of salt is that when it makes any dish tastier, we say that, "Wow, that paneer butter masala was so tasty." We don't praise the salt, we praise the output. So he kind of takes a back seat, and he the salt doesn't expect, you know, the glories. Salt doesn't get appreciated, even though that's the only main ingredient which enhances the taste or keeps the taste balanced. And third thing, that salt mixes up with whatever you put. If you put in water, it mixes up, it dissolves, so it doesn't keep a identity of its own. So we don't identify ourselves that, "Oh, I am this, I am that," and hold on to it. You know, we should be like we get mixed with the things, but we don't hold ourselves to be important. And then he said, like chicken has a quality that when you put grain in front of a chicken, chicken leaves the not so nourished or defective seeds and only picks the right seeds which are nutritious. So same way, a bhakta should only pick the right things which will enhance the bhakti or level of bhakti, and leave anything which is not good for conducive for our bhakti. Yeah. Another thing, that we should only look good in others. You know, we should always praise others. And leave the negative, because we are all imperfect. We are all under the influence of three modes of material nature. We are all trying to progress. So there are a lot of defects already. But if we focus on defects, then, you know, we will never be able to appreciate each other. We will never be able to grow in bhakti. So we should also always appreciate each other. We will always see positive things and encourage people. I mean, I heard a very nice example in Bhakti Shastri. Mataji, Gopeshwari Mataji gave that, you know, our mind is like a monkey. Imagine that monkey himself is so unstable, but if you make that monkey drink some wine, he'll become more unstable. And that monkey who's drunk already wine, and say a scorpion comes and bites his tail, he will be completely mad. So imagine that monkey-like mind, if he's taken the drink of ahankara, and then if a scorpion of jealousy or enviousness bites it, what will happen to that monkey-like mind? So if we go above this enviousness, if we go above this ahankara and try to see positive in others, that's what, represent a chicken in this instructions to disciple. Then third is, he said that you should be like a crane. So crane stands on one feet and patiently waits for big fish. So he lets all the small thing pass and waits when it's the right level of fish comes, size of fish comes for his eating. So that's why he's saying that we should let the small material thing pass and focus on big things, which matters the most, which is like, our spiritual life. And then last is like you, he said, because you waited patiently, you served devotees, you practiced devotional service. That's why he said like you, because you have served devotees. So when we see that, when we have we whenever feel this lack of faith, we can remember that we have to be patient and we have to progress, increase our level of faith by having right association, by knowing how to progress in bhakti yoga. So we'll conclude by, the five angas of bhakti. Once we've realized, we've reached that stage that, that we were anxious, then we looked at what are the qualities of devotees who can learn who am I, and then how we can, then once we are at that stage, we should inquire how we can progress in bhakti. So there are five angas of bhakti. So first is dham nivas, then second is having spiritual relationship sadhu sangha, third is nam japa, fourth is bhagavat shravan, and fifth is murti puja, so with shraddha, deity worship. So now we are dham nivas, now we are sitting in Doha, all the flights are cancelled and we are not able to go anywhere. How will we do dham nivas? So we can learn from that Lord Brahma, Lotus Brahma sitting on this lotus foot, concentrated on the Lord within. So that's why we can do an internal pilgrimage. Whenever we are taking japa bag in our hand, we know that this Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare is not different than that Radha Shyam Sundar sitting in the Vrindavan. So that's a pilgrimage we have to do now. We have to go on that pilgrimage within our dhams, within our homes, in front of our deities, with the association of Lord's names. Then we see how do we get association of devotees, like what we are doing right now, that we are getting association of devotees. And how we would do the association of devotees, that's given by Rupa Goswami. Dadati pratigrahanati guhyam akhyati prachati bhunte bhojayate jayva. So we can't do dadati pratigrahanati right now, or we can't do bhunte bhojayate, we can't invite people for food or stuff. But what we can do is guhyam akhyati prachati. So we can reveal our heart, like call devotees. If you have anxiety, call someone whom you love. Check on them, how they are doing. So this is like guhyam akhyati prachati, giving association to each other. Another example is there in US there are these redwood trees, and they are very, very tall trees. And these redwood trees, they're so tall, but their roots are only 2-3 feet below the ground. They are not very deep in the ground. And they live where there are hurricanes and there are, there are tornadoes. But they still stand still, even though their roots are not so deep. So the people started to look for reason. So they found out all these trees' roots are intermingled with each other. So they are all holding tightly, all these redwood trees providing support to each other by their roots being intermingled so tightly. So whenever a new sapling also grows, he gets the equal support as a big tree and he grows nicely. So same way, if as a devotees, we are intermingled, joined up together, then we can give support to each other. And whenever a new sapling also comes, he or she can also grow. And we can water these trees with, listening to Prabhupada, and doing japa together, doing kirtan together. So that's the Dham Nivas and Sadhu Sangha. Third is Naam Japa. So Naam Japa is where we are doing japa of Maha Mantra. So mantra means is divided into man and tra is trayate. So man is our mind and trayate means deliverer or to deliver. So when we do this chanting of Maha Mantra, we are delivering our mind from the pangs of material nature. We're delivering this mind out of the clutches of the three modes of material nature. That's trayate. And then fourth is Bhagavat Shravan. So when we start Bhagavatam Shravan, we say Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalaka. So we are begging to the spiritual master that, please let me have this transcendental knowledge. So we hear this Bhagavad Shravan from the disciplic succession, from the authentic gurus. So that's why when we are saying Bhagavatam, it's not we are saying, we are just the loudspeaker. The recorder is behind. It's just repeating what's been taught, isn't it? And fifth is Murti Puja, deity worship. So the deity worship is like an expression of love. It's a meditation. So when we are doing deity worship, when we are doing nice shrangar to deity, when we are offering flower, we are doing abhishek, then it's kind of a meditation on the Lord's Archa Vigraha. Because every day, everywhere we see matter, we open our eyes and we see material universe everywhere, the material manifestation everywhere. When we open internet, we see material things, we see material manifestation. So this is the only thing when we look at the Archa Vigraha, which is completely spiritual and it reminds us of the Lord. And whenever, because our memory is like a storehouse, so whatever we see keeps getting stored in the subtle mind. But when we what will come when you play a memory? What's been stored, correct? So if in USB we store movies, Bollywood songs, so when we plug it to the laptop, it will play movies, Bollywood songs or material things. But we store bhajans, we store kirtan, we store deities' pictures, we store lectures. When we put that USB in the computer, it will show that it will show those their pictures of deities. It will play those lectures of Prabhupada. It will play those kirtans. So same way in our memory, if we keep feeding, those darshan of Archavigraha, we'll keep listening to the Bhagavad Shravan. We'll keep listening to the kirtans. When this memory plays back, when we are not able to think anything, the memory will play back those things. When we have this fear that what happens at the last time and we are not able to remember, but if we have fed this all of our life, then these things will play back. Those are the five angas of bhakti, and this is how we can awaken our divine grace. Like for Avroha Pantha, we need a divine grace, and this divine grace can be obtained by doing this bhakti yoga. I mean, see, we were listening to the other day, we had Ram Navami and Hanuman Jayanti, and when Lord Hanuman did this service of going to Sita Mata burning Lanka and coming back and telling Lord Ram that Sita Mata is there, I have met her. Lord Ram said that for the service you have done, I don't have anything else than myself, and I give you myself to you. Can you imagine that Lord, who's unconquerable, gets conquered by little act? But you may think, oh, I'm not Hanuman, I can't go to Lanka and do this for Lord. So think about gopis. They just constantly remembered Krishna. That's a simple act they did by just remembering Krishna all the time, 24/7, every second, and Lord got conquered by them. So if we have humble heart and if we constantly remember Krishna, the Lord who's unconquerable can be conquered. We say that, there's a saying that love conquers the beloved. So we can conquer that love by, practicing simple four or five yangas of bhakti. So, coming back to shloka, Lord is saying that he took Manu avatar for protection of devotees through his chakra disc, which is Sudarshan chakra. So let's pray to this Sudarshan chakra. Let's pray to this avatar of Lord in the form of Manu to give us protection from this material pangs of material nature, and gives us this bhakti, and that we can always glorify transcendental forms and leelas of Lord, and this bhakti manifests in our heart one day. Hare Krishna. So please forgive me for any mistakes and correct me for the all the errors I may have done. Hare Krishna. So if there are any comments, questions, corrections, please.
Very wonderful class, Guruji. Very nice class, and the examples which you give of that Rishi Putra and the five angas of bhakti which we glorified is certainly we should follow. And we should, practice day to day in our lives. Very enlightening class. But as usual, let us go with questions. If Lalit Prabhu raised his hands, so let's answer his question first.
Hare Krishna Guruji. Thanks for very pleasant and substantial class. a lot of things for us to grasp from there. Actually, nowadays, whenever I am struck with any anxiety sort of things, you know, anxiety is basically what is, which is unfulfilled desires are anxiety. So I always remember two words, Dukkhalayam Asaswatam. So the anxiety goes away. So if you just come to the realization that this world is nothing but a place of misery and mortal, so there is nothing comes in our way which basically can create anxiety. The other thing I was thinking when I was reading the purport, you know, the Manu is basically considered as an integral part of our faith, right? And you also said that during the initial years of Indian independence, Manu Sanhita, or you said Manu Smriti or something, that granth was taken as a constitution for the Hindus, right? Although I've never read and I not even seen the book of Manu Sanhita and Manu Smriti, but if you see our today's society in India, people has a kind of hate towards the people who, if you take the name of Manu, they will see you with the hate. They will say, they will think that you are a communal person. Mm. And here, God has incarnated himself as a Manu.
Mm.
Especially, I tell you, in South India, because you know, the BJP is considered as Manuvadi party, and they think they are the untouchable people, basically. So it's such a great extent of hatred is there within the Hindu society with the name of Manu. So this is something very, you know, controversial and very something which is very difficult to understand. I think Sudama Prabhu is here also can put some light in it, because most of people who are living in the South India are Hindus, but why they have such a hate towards the people and they say Manuvadi and, you know, the untouchability. So, if someone can clarify this,
yeah,
I think so.
So, Prabhu, I'll let Sudhakar also speak. But what I was doing research about Manu Smriti, that first translation of Manu Smriti on English was done by a British person. And what he did was that he used the translation to their advantage. So, all these Manu Smriti were coming by, from disciplic succession, from one king to another king, one king to generation to other generation, and things got added and modified according to the time, place and circumstance. So there is no authentic version of Manu Smriti or manuscript available right now. And all these translations which are available are defective, because they were done for the benefit of the writer translator. Anyways, Vaishnavas are not concerned with that, because we have the highest, most transcendental knowledge available. And anyways, the life is so short that we can't even finish our Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So why we don't have time to focus on other things, isn't it? Like Bhagavatam, I remember we started 10 years back and we've just read on the second canto, and there are, you know, like 10-11 cantos still remaining. So not sure about the exact reason, but what I've heard limited, that because of so much manipulation with the script, it has not become very reliable for spiritual advancement. So Dhamma Prabhu, you have any
I think you nicely touched upon the answer. One more thing we should always remember is that all the rules, laws and regulations which came, which are relevant in the different constitutions, actually the origin is from the Sanatana Dharma, which these Manu Samhita and they are followed. So it is just that now we look upon those laws and regulations like something different, but actually it's been taken from there. Because if you see the old, before 5000 years back, that's only one king for the whole world. And there are also, in this verse also, it is mentioned that there are also kings who are
you know, who were rebels. So they ran away to different places and they formed their own countries. But their basic teachings they had, or the basic rules they had, they according to their will and circumstances, they made their own laws. So the origin is still the Manu Samhita only. That's what we should understand. And you are asking about the current hatred. That is the nature of Kali Yuga. It's Kali, so we can't do anything about it. And we can't change the world. We can only keep adding more devotees to our, our area, and then keep preaching until everyone tries to get back to Godhead. We can't, there will be people who are against this, and Kali Yuga's nature is like that. So this is how the material world is made up of. So, you know, we don't actually need to be, we should be compassionate about the jivas who are forgetting about the Lord. So if somebody is willing to come and listen to us, we should obviously give them the knowledge. If they don't want to, then we have to, Krishna will take care. This is how we should look at it. So this is what I wanted to add. Thank you.
Thanks, Sudham Prabhu. I mean, very nice point Sudham Prabhu mentioned that, you know, there is a saying that, you know, if the whole town is dirty, you can't go and clean the town, but what you can do is wear shoes, you know? So at least you don't get. So if there's a contamination in the Kali Yuga, we can't treat the Kali Yuga because that's the time. But what we can do is we can create a spiritual bubble around us so that it doesn't contaminate our consciousness or our progress. Mahaprasad Prabhu, would you like to add anything?
Hare Krishna, thank you for giving me the chance to stand up pranam to everyone. I think Sudama Prabhu explained it very nicely. I think Prabhu, you've also emphasized it in the beginning of your lecture about the importance of receiving Divya Gyan through the parampara. That sums it up, because at the end of the day, the Vedic literatures are like an ocean. Where do we start? Where do we begin? Where do we end? There's so much literature. Manu Samhita is just only one of them. There's so many different kinds of scriptures. But the practice that we have is that whenever we receive Divya Gyan or a spiritual knowledge, it has to be received through a disciplic succession from a bona fide spiritual master who makes it easy for us to understand according to time, place, circumstance. For instance, the Vedas have all kind of instruction for those who are in the mode of goodness, for those who are in the mode of passion, for those who are in the mode of ignorance. If we just help ourselves trying to understand the Vedas directly, we will only get confused. Therefore, we have to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master who is coming from the disciplic succession, who is able to impart the right knowledge according to our consciousness, according to our level. Yeah, that is the beauty of it. So Vrijabhumi Prabhu in the beginning explained that this Divya Gyan, this transcendental knowledge, should only descend through a parampara, through a disciplic succession. And that way we can get the message as it is. You know, Prabhu mentioned the two important verses, Bhagavad Gita 4.1, 4.2. You know, 4.1 saying Imam Vibhashvati Yogam. Krishna explained that he instructed this message to Vibhashvan to Manu to Ikshvaku. Ikshvaku was the king of the entire planet at that time, the earth planet. Prabhupada said this is in the region of 2,500,000 years ago, long time ago. That was instructed. So the Bhagavad Gita was disseminated from that time onwards. But unfortunately, it was broken. In the second verse, 4.2, Krishna is saying, Ivam Paramparam Praptam. He is saying that disciplic succession was broken and the message was practically lost. Therefore, he had to re-establish that same message again via the medium of Arjuna. That was about 5,000 years ago. So if that message still gets received through a bona fide representatives, then it has their potency, then it has an impact. Otherwise, it will not have an impact. Prabhupada always gives this example about the DHL or the postman.
Mm-hmm.
The postman may be a completely poor person with a low wage, but sometimes he can carry a diamond that is worth millions and millions of dollars. what does he do? He picks that up. So that poor man is delivering that diamond as it is to the recipient. So the recipient becomes millionaire or a billionaire because he received that diamond as it is, although he is receiving it from the poor man. So what appears to be a poor Vaishnava, a spiritual master, he is actually delivering the highest, the most potent knowledge because he's repeating it as it is, having received it from the disciplic succession. So the value and the importance of the spiritual master and those acharyas in the disciplic successions are very, very high because they're delivering a very powerful, very potent, very pure message. What is the qualification? The qualification Prabhupada says is simple. Why is it simple? Because they're only repeating. They're not imagining. They're not speculating. Yeah, the whole society, the material civilization, from the time we joined KG, kindergarten, primary school, we're taught how to speculate, how to speculate, how to speculate. Everyone is trying to imagine, trying to make themselves perfect by saying that I'm smart, I've got the smartest idea. So this whole materialistic society is teaching us to grow in that manner. But ideally speaking, if we're taught from the very beginning, this hearing from authoritative sources like the Vedic scriptures through a disciplic succession, then our life would have been perfect. In the early days, millions of years ago, Satyayug, Dvapara Yug, Treta Yug, the majority of people were listeners. You know, they were following the Vedas. Yeah, because of that, life was not as chaotic as it is now. Now in Kali Yuga, life is so chaotic. Why? Because of speculation. So many people speculate about politics, about the way the social order should run. There's so many speculations. I mean, some of them, they may have done it with noble cause, you know, trying to make a difference in society. But at the end of the day, speculation. They're not referring to the scriptures. They're not referring to what the acharyas is saying. They're not referring to what the spiritual master is saying. Because of that, there's chaos in the world. Although we appear to be materially so much advanced, happiness has disappeared. Nobody's happy. So much frustration. I'm living here in Ethiopia now. The political game is so bad that, you know, there's so much fear in everyone's house. There's so much killing, so much murder going on in every rural areas or whatever. All this is coming because, you know, we've derailed from what the acharyas has been teaching us and trying to understand spiritual subject matter properly. So yeah, I think Prabhu have explained it very nicely. I like your examples also towards the end, the one he gave about the salt, about the chicken, about the crane, about the devotee. The salt especially does not expect any glories, even though it's giving sweetness. The spiritual master is like that, you know, he's enlightening us, but he doesn't expect any kind of glory for himself. And also the point he mentioned about dissolving our identity, you know, we may have a materialistic kind of identity, but when we are in the association of devotees, we have to be able to learn how to dissolve and mix and really bring our wavelength to the same wavelength as a transcendentalist or the Vaishnavas. Yeah, so we should be able to prepare ourselves to dissolve our materialistic tendency and accept, you know, the spiritual power. The crane example was also very nice, standing on his feet, painfully, but waiting for the big fish. The devotees are very patient. They know what's coming. Love of Godhead, eventually. You know, although we're doing all kind of practice, which may be materially painful sometimes, but actually we wait for the big result. The big result is Krishna prayed. And also the five angas you mentioned, Rajabhumi, that was very beautiful as well. The Dham Nivas, the Sadhu Sangha, the Naam Japa, and the Bhagavad Shabad, and the Murti Seva, they summarize very, very nicely about the different angas of bhakti that will nurture our spiritual life very nicely. So I really enjoyed the class. I was really worried that I would lose my network connection, but somehow or other Krishna didn't stir the delivery of the message. So I managed to listen the whole thing throughout, and I really appreciate that. Yeah, thank you very much.
No, I was also worried that if I lose you, I will not get chance to correction. You are like that protection safety net. So if you do any mistake, you can you know protect us from making mistakes.
Not the only one. All the Vaishnavas are here.
Yeah. definitely.
That was really nice class. Thank you.
All grace to Srila Prabhupada, all grace to Guru Maharaj. Any
very
other?
Yeah, I just also wanted to comment. Very nice examples, especially the salt and the one Prabhu just mentioned. Very nice class. Thank you, Prabhu.
I just repeated, Mataji, what I read or heard. So these last 1 month were very trying times. So I used my time to, rather than being anxious, I tried to read and meditate on Lord. So it Lord's mercy. Yes, Komal Mataji.
I would like to say, like how all Vaishnava speaks, na, they always say, whatever is written, I'm just repeating. And when in the material world, when you go, everybody says what I think.
Mm.
You know, whenever anybody has to give an opinion about anything, they say what I think.
Mm.
And whenever we listen to all Vaishnava, they say whatever has been said by my guru and by paramparas, we are just repeating. And even like Amendra Babu, last time also I must have mentioned and all, you know, how humble way and very like how he says in the Nimrata, that I am like a dog of my guru and I only bark whatever my guru has said to me. Huh? So like, you know, Vaishnavas, they have that such a purity in the mind. They don't have the egos and all. They don't say anything what I think. But the materialistic, whenever you speak, they say, I think this is the way it is. I think that's the way it should be and how it is. So that's the way. Very good. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, I think it is our education, you know. When we go to school, they train us to speak our minds rather than understand what is there and, you know, remember and refer back to what is there in the scriptures. So we become so materialistic, we train and we're going to schools, which has just annulled everything, you know, and that's why there's so much of disasters happening all around the world and so many fights and confusion around. So really blessed to be in the association of all the Vaishnavas.
And you know, because of this also, when we read Bhagavatam, when we read Gita and all, many things, we only think, aisa ho sakta hai kya? Aisa ho sakta hai kya? Because you know, our mind always likes to say, aisa kaise hoya? You know, like all the time. But when you associate with all these things and all, then slowly, slowly, your mind becomes calmer and it becomes more intelligent.
Thank you, Mataji. Thanks for sharing realizations. Any other question, comments from anyone?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Dhanutalam. Thank you for this nice class. One question, Prabhu. Where did it all started going wrong from Manu? Since because the knowledge was directly involved. Where did it all started falling apart?
So Prabhu,
this pollution and
So Prabhu, even when Krishna was present, Krishna came as himself, and he was he was here in his form. I mean, there was Kamsa also there, and there was Aghasura also there, and there was all these demonic people were also there. So they've been always there, but the proportion was less in those yugas. But when it came to Kali Yuga, everyone became Aghasur, everyone became Ravan, everyone became Hiranyakashipu. So it's the nature of the time, you know, in which we are right now, makes it polluted. So as the time progresses, this pollution will increase. So that's why they're saying that there is an urgency to take spiritual path, as much as urgency a person has to remove his turban if that turban has caught fire. So imagine if you have fire, if you have turban and turban has caught fire, you will not go and look for the cause of fire. What you will first do is to remove the turban. As much urgency we have to take spiritual path and look after the spiritual well-being of ourselves as if our turban has caught fire. So it is going wrong and it will continue to go wrong because we are so controlled by these three modes of material nature, and these three modes of material nature also perfect because they are Lord's energy. So this is also Lord's external energy. So if Lord is perfect, Lord's external energies are perfect. So she'll also work perfectly in doing her duty, you know. So I mean, that's what the humble request is, that let's focus on how we can progress and correct